It's Friday, everyone. What do we do on Fridays here at the Hint Hive? That's right, we smash the patriarchy. Welcome, queens, to another episode of the Hint Hive, amplifying women's voices. I'm your fierce host, Kelly Hint, queen bee of this hive, and today we're diving deep into the ocean of feminist theory. So grab your crowns and let's get started. All right, first things first, let's clear the air. What exactly is feminism? Well, my ladies of the hive, feminism is the radical notion that women are people too. Shocker, huh? It's not about putting women above men. It's about achieving equality for all genders. Yes, all genders. Now let's touch on feminist theory. Think of it as our blueprint for dismantling the patriarchy. It's the academic backbone of our movement, exploring the ways that gender intersects with power, privilege, and oppression. Picture it as a treasure trove of ideas and insights that challenge the status quo. It's like our own personal roadmap to liberation. Key areas of focus within feminist theory include discrimination and exclusion on the basis of sex and gender, objectification, structural and economic inequality, power and oppression, and also gender roles and stereotypes, which I covered in a prior episode. Throughout history, there have been fierce femmes who paved the way for us, from the indomitable suffragettes like Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who fought tooth and nail for our right to vote, to the revolutionary bell hooks, who challenged us to rethink the intersections of race, class, and gender. Have you ever heard of intersectionality? It's the idea that our identities are layered like a decadent cake, with each slice representing different aspects of who we are, race, class, sexuality, and so on. Kimberly Crenshaw, the fierce goddess who coined the term, reminds us that feminism must be inclusive of all women, not just the ones at the top of the pyramid. Translation, rich white ladies. And let's not forget about the power of storytelling. From literature to film, art has been a powerful tool for shining a spotlight on women's experiences. Think of Maya Angelou's lyrical poetry, or Ava DuVernay's groundbreaking films. These storytellers remind us that our voices matter and our stories deserve to be heard. This is one of the many, many reasons why I decided to do this podcast, because, like my foremothers, I believe that women's voices matter, and our stories do indeed deserve to be heard. And that's also another reason why I encourage my listeners to email me and share their stories, to email me to ask about more topics for me to cover, and also to get in touch with me if they want to be a guest on this podcast. Because again, I want your stories to be heard, ladies. Now, let's sprinkle a little glitter on the shoulders of giants, shall we? Throughout history, women have been shaking things up like a snow globe. Take Mary Wollstonecraft, the OG feminist who dared to challenge the notion that women were inferior to men. Or Gloria Steinem, the iconic journalist who paved the way for a new wave of feminism in the 60s and 70s. These trailblazers remind us that the fight for equality is ongoing. But let's get real. The fight for equality isn't just about big names and bold gestures. It's about the everyday heroes who are out there making a difference in their communities. From grassroots activists to fierce advocates, these unsung heroines are the heartbeat of our movement. But let's not sugarcoat it, friends. The road to equality has been paved with potholes of prejudice and discrimination. From the wage gap to reproductive rights, women have faced hurdles at every turn. But guess what? We're still here, stronger and sassier than ever, and we are not taking this crap anymore. Now, let's tackle some of those pesky myths about feminism. No, it's not just for women. It's for everyone who believes in equality. And no, it's not about hating men. It's about dismantling the systems of power that benefit them at the expense of others. And finally, no, it's not about burning bras or bashing men. It's about smashing the patriarchy, dismantling gender roles, and embracing our divine feminine power. As I stated in a previous episode, the patriarchy hurts everyone. Just because some roided up ass clown decided that men can't cry, women cry too much, men are superior, and women are beneath men, does not mean that that's just the way it is and we all have to deal with it. The Oxford Dictionary defines feminism as the advocacy of women's rights on the basis of the equality of the sexes. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines feminism as the belief in and advocacy of the political, economic, and social equality of the sexes expressed especially through organized activity on behalf of women's rights and interests. And the IWDA, which is the International Women's Development Agency out of Australia, states that, and I quote, quite simply, feminism is about all genders having equal rights and opportunities. It's about respecting diverse women's experiences, identities, knowledge, and strengths, and striving to empower all women to realize their full rights. End quote. The IWDA goes on to reiterate that feminism does not mean that one person's experiences are more important than another. It's simply about leveling the playing field. So nowhere in any of those definitions exists any kind of hatred, man-bashing, elevating women over men, or any other kind of craziness that people like to accuse feminists of believing, thinking, and/or doing. We are simply about equality for all genders, even those that are different than ours. Is this sinking in? Because I'm telling you, if I get called a man-hater one more time, just because I advocate for equality, I am going to come unglued. Now, I wasn't going to share this because I don't want to embarrass my son, but in all fairness, he told me that he doesn't care if I mention him in my podcast, so I'm going to hold him to that. So he and his then fiance were over visiting one day. I wish I could remember the exact conversation leading up to my proud mom moment, but I just can't. Apologies. You know, I'm old. Just kidding. I don't apologize. It's who I am. Anyway, while we were discussing something related to women's rights, it could have been reproductive rights or sexual assault. I'm not sure. But anyway, my son declares that he considers himself a blue-collar feminist. I was momentarily stunned into silence. I mean, I raised my son under the belief that all people were created equal, but I never used the word feminist or anything around him while he was growing up. I didn't sit him down and educate him on feminist history or women's rights or any of that. Side note, shame on me. But anyway, when those words came out of his mouth, I swear I felt my heart swell to the point that it almost burst. As much as my husband and I screwed up as parents, at least we got a few things right. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that my son is perfect. He's as much a pain in the ass as many other humans are. But at his very core, he's a pretty amazing guy. I will forever be proud of the man that he has become. And his father, my wonderful husband of 28 years, is fan-freaking-tastic, too. I mean, he kind of has to be to put up with my shit, but seriously, he stands in solidarity with me on the fundamental rights of equality for all humans. He gets as angry as I do when he hears about yet another story of sexism, racism, homophobia, and any other kind of discrimination. He is definitely one of my heroes, and I appreciate him so much because I would imagine that it's very difficult being a man married to somebody who is very strongly a feminist, because I have a certain slant to how I see the world, right? As a woman who has been discriminated against as a woman, because I'm a woman, I get harsh at times. I get very intolerant to the point where sometimes, I'm not going to lie, I take it a bit too far. I don't want to say that I blame everything on the patriarchy or, you know, everything comes from a place of anti-feminism, but when I do see it in its true form, there are times that my reactions are very strong. And I know that makes some people uncomfortable. And I honestly can't apologize for it because it is who I am and I will never stop fighting for equality. But I at times understand that it's uncomfortable for some people. It's uncomfortable to see very strong emotions. And for that, I won't apologize for my strong emotions, but I do try to work on, I don't know, not being as reactive as I was when I was younger. So basically, I will speak out against inequality. I don't silence myself, but I try to deliver the message a little bit more tolerably depending on my audience. So I'm definitely getting better about reading the room, but I'm still not going to minimize myself or anyone else's distress. Now, you've heard me mention the patriarchy several times if you've listened to other episodes of this podcast. Why the heck do I keep talking about it? Well, let me take a minute to explain. The patriarchy, as a system that privileges men over women and reinforces gender roles and stereotypes, is inherently harmful to women in numerous ways. In patriarchal societies, women often face limited opportunities for education, employment, and leadership positions. This lack of access to resources and decision-making power perpetuates economic inequality and restricts women's ability to reach their full potential. And here's something that particularly enrages me. Patriarchal norms often condone and even normalize violence against women, including domestic violence, sexual assault, and harassment. Women are more likely to be victims of violence and discrimination simply because of their gender, perpetuating a cycle of fear and trauma. I just feel like that's the only damn reason I need to push against the patriarchy. But there's more. How about the hot-button issue of reproductive rights? In patriarchal societies, women's reproductive rights are often restricted, limiting their autonomy over their own bodies. This can manifest in barriers to accessing contraception, abortion, and comprehensive health care, denying women the right to make choices about their own reproductive health and family planning. And for crying out loud, reproductive rights, I will stress this, it's more than just abortion. I get so angry when people just think that women pushing for reproductive rights just want abortions. This is not all-encompassing, okay? Just look at the ruling in Alabama regarding IVF. I don't think I need to say more about that. And when I think about this super, super conservative movement, oh, there it is, politics, showing its ugly face in my podcast. But anyway, the extreme conservative lifestyle would be abstinence only, end of discussion. Because again, and I'm talking extreme conservatism. Is that even a word? Conservativism? Okay, whatever. Anyway, they don't want you to use birth control. They do not want you to have an abortion. Your only option is abstinence. Okay, If that's how you want to live your life, that is fine. I totally 100% any person who wants to abstain from sex and wait till marriage, or abstain from sex forever, or what have you, because again, it is about them and their rights alone. But your religious belief system does not get to affect my existence. I'm sorry, because when you look at all of the different religions, there are differences in there. So which religion is the right one? How about we let people choose for themselves, just like God gave us all free will? It is not God's will that a girl be raped at the age of 13 and become pregnant and be forced into another trauma of childbirth at the age of 13. That is not God's will. That is sin. That is man's sin. So I'm sorry, but fuck off. Do not tell me, a therapist who has worked with young teenage girls who have been raped by family members, do not tell me that I have to tell them that it's God's will that this happened to them. It is not. It is a disgusting man's sin. End of discussion. Whew, sorry. I needed a minute to calm down. Okay, so if you are somebody who believes that it's God's will that a man rapes a woman and impregnates her, that's okay if you want to believe that about your situation, but you don't get to tell the world that they have to believe the same thing as you. I respect your ability to believe what you want. I respect your right to believe what you want, but you do not get to spread your beliefs and impose on others' rights. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about something that doesn't get me so fired up. Still pisses me off, but doesn't get me as fired up as reproductive rights, clearly. How about some unequal pay and economic disadvantage? So the gender pay gap, which is a hallmark of patriarchal systems, means that women are consistently paid less than men for the same work. This economic inequality not only undermines women's financial security, but also contributes to broader systemic issues such as poverty and wealth disparity. And again, I'm not saying that changes haven't happened over the past century, but we still have work to do because these systems are still in place. Now, let's move into the home for a minute. So, women are often expected to take on the majority of caregiving and household responsibilities, known as emotional labor. This unpaid work can be exhausting and undervalued, reinforcing traditional gender roles and limiting women's participation in other areas of life. And again, I will reiterate for the haters, if you are a woman who wants to be a stay-at-home mom, that is fabulous. Go for it. But don't have the expectation that that's what every single woman wants. We get to have our autonomy here. We get to make our own decisions. Okay, how about some politics and leadership? So patriarchal systems often result in women being underrepresented in positions of power and influence, such as politics, corporate leadership, and the media. This lack of representation often perpetuates the marginalization of women's voices and perspectives in the decision-making processes happening. Again, I am seeing some fantastic growth in this area, but that's all it is growth. It's some progress and growth, but we have not reached equality. So again, another area that I will continue to fight for. And how about body image and beauty standards? So patriarchal societies often perpetuate unrealistic beauty standards that objectify and sexualize women's bodies. This can lead to body image issues, low self-esteem, and harmful practices such as eating disorders and cosmetic surgery, as women strive to meet these unattainable ideas imposed upon them by society. Just take a look at our young girls' Instagram feeds. What is in them? It is a bunch of seemingly perfect-looking women that they are measuring themselves up against. And why are all of these seemingly perfect women all over the place? Well, that's the standard that the patriarchy has set. Look at the Barbie doll. We can't look like her, but that is the ideal, right? So basically, overall, the patriarchy perpetuates a system of gender-based oppression that undermines women's rights, their autonomy, and their well-being. And so challenging and dismantling patriarchal structures is essential for achieving gender equality and creating a more just and equitable society for all. So again, not man-hating, just hating the systems that privilege them and give them an advantage over other genders. And for those who think that feminism is dead, I say, think again, honey. We are not going anywhere, and neither is our fierce determination to create a world where all genders can thrive. And for those who think feminism is a dirty word, check your facts. As I said, it's not about taking away anyone's rights. It's about leveling the playing field so that everyone can thrive. So, to all the haters out there, we say, bye, Felicia. And finally, don't fucking tell me that the patriarchy no longer exists, Bill Maher, because my uterus, as well as uteruses around the country, would strongly disagree. How about a new rule for you, buddy? Don't say that the patriarchy doesn't exist in one sentence, and then discuss the atrocities happening with women's reproductive rights in the next. Apologies to all who I just confused. If you don't watch Bill Maher's show, then you have no idea what I'm talking about. Just let me have my menopausal rant without judgment. And no, I'm not canceling Bill Maher because I do agree with him on several things, but on the issue of whether or not the patriarchy is still a problem, we fundamentally disagree. And that's okay. Because, you know, we're free to believe what we want. I just know I'm right on this one. Sorry, Bill. Well, my fierce and fabulous femmes, our time together has come to an end. But fear not, for the fire of feminism burns bright within each and every one of us. And remember, feminism isn't just a theory, it's a way of life. So keep slaying, keep fighting, and keep amplifying those voices. And don't forget to email the podcast if you have a question, comment, or even a topic that you'd like to hear about. And if you've been enjoying the podcast, please spread the word. I'm on a mission to empower the women of this world, and I need your help. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, stay bold, stay beautiful, and stay unapologetically you. This is Kelly Hint, Queen Bee of this Hive, signing off. Catch you on the flip side, Queen Bees.